Yesterday, Sharaji explained the sentence that Buddha had taught, Bhutan Bhutato Pasati. One should observe things as they are at the moment they arise, at the moment they exist. So one should observe these objects at the moment they arise, at the moment they exist. In order to observe them, one should observe them with full mental strength. So observing them with full mental strength, when Kanika Samadhi, momentary concentration, becomes strong, one will come to know Sabhava Lakkhana. One will come to know unique individual characteristics. So it means yatha sabhavato, one will come to see it as the way its characteristics, or as the way their nature is. And just like salakhanato, one will know its own unique characteristics of these objects. So by noting thus, one will come to know the unique characteristic, individual and distinct characteristics of these objects. And when one comes to know the unique individual distinct characteristics of these objects, one will know that these nature, individual nature, do not stay the same. After arising, it does not stay the same, but it dissolves after a moment. So if these do not stay the same, if they dissolve, then one should not be attached on them. Because they dissolve after arising, they are no good, they are suffering. So in this way, one also come to know dukkha lakkhana, characteristic of suffering. So if something is easily perishable, if something gets ruined easily, it is of poor quality, so it has to be regarded as no good. So in the same way, the true nature that is arising in one's body, they do not stay the same, they dissolve after a moment. So this arising, passing away, is common to all the objects. So that's why these arising, passing away, they are the common characteristics of all objects. So by coming to know arising and passing away of the objects, Yogi will come to understand impermanence, suffering, and non-self. So seeing arising and passing away of the objects, Yogi will come to understand that there is no jiva atta, no individual soul. So one will not have the belief that there is a soul, a living soul in the being. And one will also overcome the wrong view of Brahma Atta, supreme or universal soul. So one will not have this wrong belief that supreme soul or individual soul is controlling the beings. So by coming to know cause and effect, coming to know that things are happening in their own accord, One comes to understand that there is no atta involved. So by this way, one understands that there is anatta, non-self. The characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self, they are not paramatta. These characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self, they are not paramatta or ultimate truth. But these characteristics are called panyati gatika. They are like concept. So the manner of impermanence, suffering, and non-self are like concept, panyati. But because these characteristics, impermanent, suffering, and non-self, they dwell on paramatta, ultimate truth, and combining with the ultimate truth, paramatta, that really exists, these characteristics of impermanence, suffering, and non-self cannot be denied that they do not exist. Because these characteristics of impermanence and impermanent suffering and non-self cannot be denied, these characteristics are taken as something that really exists. But actually, these characteristics are not true paramatta. They are not true ultimate truth. But they are just manner or signs of the objects. Sarah G. gave an example. If there are one hole, two holes, three holes in the shirt one is wearing, and if the question goes, where are these holes? So one must answer, the holes are on the shirt. They are not in the air or in the space. These holes are not in the space. So if one asks, are the holes and the shirt the same? No, they are not. So the holes are apart from the shirt. So the shirt is something else and the holes are not the shirt. So the holes are actually situated in the shirt. In the same way, in the nama and rupa, in the mentality and materiality, so in these paramatta, ultimate truth, there are characteristics of impermanent suffering and non-self. By noting the objects at the present moment they arise, one will come to know the unique, individual, distinct characteristics. And coming to know their unique, individual, distinct characteristics, one will also see that they arise and pass away. So they dissolve after passing away, and they are suffering because they arise and pass away, and these are arising in their own accord. So arising and passing away, this is samanya lakkhana, common characteristics. So these common characteristics are common to all objects. So only when one comes to know samanya lakkhana, common characteristics, then the person will develop vipassana jnana, insight knowledge. So yesterday, Saraji explained the nature characteristics of rising and falling of the abdomen. So just as when one notes diligently on rising and falling of the abdomen, the true nature will be known. So in the same way, other objects that arise, if they are noted properly, then one will come to know the true nature of these objects, which are compared to the taste or flavor of food. So that's why yogis should be noting every single object, even blinking of the eye, opening and closing of the eyes should be noted, so that yogi will come to know the true nature involved in these activities, which are compared to the taste or flavor of food. So Saroji will explain about Atta and Anatta. When the yogis get to this Vipassana Jnana from both the experience of the yogis as well as theoretical aspects. So now Saroji hears that new yogis are coming in every day. So it is important that the yogis know accurately how to practice. Yesterday, Saroji explained that in every fruit, in every food, they have their own taste, flavor. So in every piece of food has its own taste and flavor. Even the small piece of food has its own taste and flavor. The flavor and taste may be different from one to another. So whether the food piece is big or medium or small, it has its own flavor according to the proportion of the food. So in the same way, in the objects that arise, whether they are a big activity or medium or minute activity, they also have their own nature. Even the slightest movement, such as blinking of the eye, opening and closing of the eye, contains its own nature. Even the blinking, opening, closing of the eye, it has its own unique individual characteristic, sabhava lakkhana, and also samanya lakkhana, common characteristics. So if these activities, such as blinking, opening, closing of the eye, are noted ordinarily, casually, one may think that there is no sabhava lakkhana, unique characteristic, or samanya lakkhana, common characteristic. So just as every kind of food, according to the proportion of the food, they have their own taste, according to the proportion. In the same way, even the minute activity, such as blinking of the eye, opening and closing of the eye, if they are noted properly, one can come to know sabhava lakkhana, unique characteristic, as well as samanya lakkhana, common characteristics. So if you are very mindful, you will experience, you will come to know that there is tension, stiffness in the eye. Because of the tension, stiffness in the eye, one feels discomfort, one feels uneasy. So this discomfort, uneasiness is very obvious. So one wants to get rid of this uneasiness. One wants its way out of this uneasiness and discomfort. So there will be intention to blink, and the actual blinking activity takes place. So the intention to blink is very obvious. And also, because of this intention to blink, the actual blinking activity takes place. So after blinking, one feels relieved, there will be relaxation. Before the blinking, one feels stiff and tense in the eye. And after blinking, the stiffness and tension becomes relieved and relaxed. So the sabhava, the nature, the characteristics has changed. So because of the discomfort, one wants to be relieved from this discomfort. So one has this intention to blink and the actual blinking takes place. So one will be relieved from this tension and discomfort of the eye. So in the process of blinking of the eye, there is the intention to blink, which is the nama, mentality, and the actual blinking, it is the effect, which is materiality. So by noting at the moment of blinking, one will come to know the true nature, its characteristics, which are compared to the flavor or taste of food. So that's why yogis are asked to note every movement, every activity, even the smallest minute activities and movements should be noted so that one will not miss or fail to note even the smallest minute movements or activities. So by noting at the moment of blinking, one will come to know the mentality, materiality arising in pair, and one can also understand that cause and effect are also arising in pair. That's why yogis should be noting respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly, without missing or failing to note every object. So, apart from sleeping hours throughout 24 hours in one day, apart from sleeping hours, yogis should be noting continuously from the time they get up until they go to bed. In whichever posture they may be in, lying, standing, sitting, walking, in whichever posture they are in, they must be noting continuously on every single object. So one may think that it is too much to note every object continuously, but actually, if you separate three parts, then it is not so much. It is not too much. So during sitting meditation, yogis are asked to note rising and falling of the abdomen as the primary object, as well as other secondary object that arises. During the walking meditation, yogis should keep their focus of attention on the feet, and they should be noting lifting, moving, placing of the foot. And at other times, when they are doing general daily activities, they should also be noting every movement, every activity. So if you separate them into three parts, sitting meditation, walking meditation, and the daily activities, and if you note according to the instruction, then yogis will be able to note meticulously, thoroughly. So being mindful means observing, noting every single movement, every single activity. One should have the determination that I will not fail to note anything, even the smallest minute movement or activity. So if yogis have such determination and note respectfully, meticulously, and thoroughly, yogis will not miss or fail to note the object. Even if they miss to note the object, they will know that they missed or they failed to note the object. So, in order to note every single object, one needs to note the object, aiming the mind towards the object, and put effort so that the noting mind will fall onto the object. So during the sitting meditation, when yogis are noting the primary object, rising and falling of the abdomen, when secondary objects arise, such as other prominent sensations or wandering of the mind, then one should go on to note these objects. But during the walking meditation, yogis should keep their attention on the foot and note lifting, moving, and placing. Yogis should not be following to note other objects during walking meditation in the way they do sitting. So during the walking meditation, they should be only noting, lifting, moving, and placing. And when noting, lifting, moving, placing also, yogis should aim the mind towards the object, and yogis should put effort so that the noting mind will fall onto the object. Every time one lifts, one should note with aim and effort. Every time one moves, one should note it with aim and effort. Every time one places the foot, one should be noting with aim and effort. So, when the noting mind fall on these objects, lifting, moving, and placing, then the mind is controlled on these objects, lifting, moving, placing. When noting, lifting, moving, placing, when the noting mind fall on the form or shape of the foot, then the noting is beneficial to a certain extent. And when the noting mind falls only on the manner of lifting, when the noting mind falls on the manner of lifting movement, then it is quite beneficial to a certain extent. But yogi's noting mind should not only rest on the form or shape of the foot or the mode or manner of lifting, moving, placing alone. What they should be knowing is beyond form or shape or manner or mode. So they should be knowing the true nature of this lifting, moving, placing, which are compared to the taste of food. When lifting the foot, one should push the foot so that the foot will go up in the air, so there will be pushing. So when the foot is pushed up, one can experience lightness. So pushing is the nature of air element, and there will be lightness as the foot is pushed up. So when yogis note properly on this primary object of lifting, yogis can come to experience pushing and lightness. So by being mindful At the present moment of lifting the foot, one will come to know the nature such as pushing, lightness, the nature which is compared to the taste of food. And also, when moving of the foot, before the foot is lifted up, there will be intention, series of intention to lift the foot. And because of the series of intention to lift the foot, the actual lifting take place. And also, when the yogi is moving the foot, then the foot should be pushed from behind so that the foot will move. So this pushing is also the nature of air element. So when the foot is pushed from behind so that it will move, there are nature, pushing, and also lightness is involved. So these two, pushing and lightness, they are arising in pair, just like they are each of them, pushing and the lightness are its own mate, or they are own mate to each other. And when one places the foot is released so that there will be heaviness. So yogi should be noting so as to come to know the true nature involved in the lifting, moving, and placing. And when the foot is fully placed on the ground, then there will be resistance against the ground, and one can also feel hardness, softness. So in order to know the true nature involved in lifting, moving, placing, which are compared to the taste of food, yogis should be noting properly with aim and effort on this lifting, moving, placing. So when the yogi during walking meditation comes to the end of the lane, then yogi should stop. So at that moment, yogi is standing. So yogi should be noting, standing, standing. So when there is standing, the legs or the feet supported on the floor and the upper body upright. So because of the series of intention to stand, there will be the actual standing of the materiality. So yogi should keep his or her awareness on the whole body in standing position and note it as standing. So there is air in the body which is supporting, so the body upright, stiff and erect. So yogi should pay attention on the whole body as a whole and note it as standing, standing. So it is not just the foot or it is not just the legs that is standing. So one must not only keep the awareness, only on the foot or the leg during noting standing. But one should keep the awareness on the whole body as a whole in standing position and note it as standing. So it is the legs as well as the whole body standing. So keep the awareness on the whole body when noting standing, standing. So just like the saying, Bhutan Bhutato Pasati, in order to know things as they really are, one should be noting at the moment of standing. So by noting standing, one will know cause and effect, Because there is the intention to stand, the actual standing takes place. So note the whole body, keep the awareness on the whole body and note as standing, standing. And when turning also, yogi should do it slowly, mindfully, noting, turning, turning, turning. Saraji sees some of the yogis doing their walking meditation. Their eyes are looking up till the end of the lane. And some of the yogis are even looking sideways. Saraji said, as a yogi, even though the yogi sees, he, she must act like a blind person. So as the Pali goes, Sakumasa yata ando. Even though the person sees, even though the person has good eyesight, he, she must act like a blind person. A blind person does not look here and there. So yogi should act like a blind person, should not look here and there. But when going, yogi should keep their eyes down. They should only look about 6 feet ahead of them on the way. So the head must also, the head mustn't be down. So only the eyes should be looking down, only about 6 feet ahead of you. When the yogi looks up, he, she is missing, failing to note the object. So lifting up the eye, uplifting the head, looking, seeing, these are all missed to note when the yogi looks up and unmindfully. So yogi is failing to note the true nature. Yogi is missing, failing to note the true nature if he, she is looking up here and there. So such yogi is a very easygoing yogi who is very haphazard in doing things. And also, when one hears, one should not be paying any attention. So even though one hears, he, she must be acting like a deaf person. A deaf person not being able to hear. In the same way, yogi should not pay attention on the sounds or noises. So yogi must act like a deaf person. And also, yogi may have good knowledge. Yogi may also have good general knowledge in the practice. He, she may be doing good in arts and science. When doing worldly education in arts and science, they are reflecting on things, what it is, how it is, why is it. But during the practice, they must not be using such method. So yogis should be noting the presently arising object effectively. So there should be no reflection, what it is, how is it, why is it. If they are reflecting how, what, and why, then they are failing or losing to note the presently arising object. So what is more important is to be able to note the presently arising object. Even though yogi has a good knowledge, even though the yogi has good knowledge, but he, she must not do reflecting, but only note on the presently arising object. So just like the saying, Panyavasa yatha ando. Yatha mugo. Even though the person has good knowledge, he, she must act like a dumb person, not knowing anything. And also, when standing up, sitting down, bending, stretching. These activities should be done slowly and mindfully. A person who is strong, they can get up abruptly, they can sit down abruptly, but during the practice, yogis should act like a sick person, doing things slowly. So yogis should act like a sick, weak, and feeble person, doing things slowly. Only then they can keep pace with the phenomena. So one should slow down the speed of activities. One should slow down the speed to zero when doing practice. Only then one can keep pace with the activities he, she is doing. So whatever yogi is doing, whether sitting down or standing up or bending or stretching, they should be doing slowly so that they can keep pace with the activity. So they must not think that by doing things slowly, mindfully, I will be losing time to do sitting meditation. They should not think it that way. And they should not think that by doing things slowly, it is not beneficial. So they should not be thinking that way. So in the body, the objects that are arising, they are very subtle, delicate, and profound. So that's why yogis should be noting them with profound knowledge. So that's why Saraji said yogis should slow down to their speed of activities to zero. But the noting should be fresh, alert, and ardent and active to note the presently arising object. So there are things where one should do quickly. So some of the things that should be quickly should not be done at regular speed or slowly. It will not be beneficial. There are some things where you should do at a regular speed. Something that should be done in regular speed should not be done either hastily or slowly. And some of the things must be done slowly. Some things that must be done slowly, one should not try to do it with a fast speed or medium speed, but one should only do it slowly. Saraji gives an example. In hospital, there are patients who need to be handled with care. If the nurse handle this patient very roughly, then the patient will pass away. So the patient that should be handled gently should be handled with care and gentleness. Otherwise, the patient will die. And also, when one is crossing the road, one should cross quickly. But if one is slowing down and crossing the road in a very slow speed, you can be run down by car. So that's why one should choose one speed appropriately according to the situation. During the practice, yogi should act like a weak, feeble, sick person, doing things slowly. So one should slow down one's own speed to zero. But the noting mind should be active, alert, and ready. So yogis should also mind their eyes also. Saraji sees that some of the yogis are not controlling they are not restraining their eye, looking here and there. Sociology says you don't need to keep the head down. Keep the head up 90 degrees. Keep the body straight 90 degrees when doing walking meditation. And keep the head straight 90 degrees. Only the eyes should be kept down, only looking about 6 feet ahead on the floor. So 1 hour is up. Saraji will continue to explain next day. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.